Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. I think that's my first time hearing that.
Yeah, it's a lot. Elliot just loves it.
That's great. Well, welcome back. Joe Giglio in for both Mark Cerise. Elliot Shore Park's about to join us right now to talk the preseason being cut down to a couple games and all that Doug Peterson slander that Elliot is not having any of. He is in the line right now. Elliot Shore Parks, 94WIP.com and the Go Birds podcast. Elliot, how we doing?
Doing great. I'm doing even better than I get to hear you and Jack back together for the afternoon. It's a beautiful day, so I'm excited to be on.
Well, we're happy to have you. And Elliot, let's start with Doug, because that was a big story earlier this week. CBS sports writer did his ranking top 10 NFL coaches right now, and he had Doug Peterson at number 9. And I first saw it, and I was like, it's ridiculous. And I don't understand why still, you know, 4 years into his tenure, three straight playoff trips, a Super Bowl, another trip, you know, significantly into the playoffs in 2018, why it's so hard for Doug Peterson to get recognized as one of the NFL's best coaches. What do you think it is? I know you wrote about it and did your rankings. What do you think it is about Doug that people still, I don't know if it's skeptical on or just overlook?
Well, I think the reason Doug isn't recognized as much is kind of the reason that makes him great, which is he doesn't really look for credit. I mean, I can tell you from being down in NovaCare, he's not a guy you're ever going to see push for power, have a power struggle with Howie Roseman, even though he has the resume that if he wanted to, he could do it. So when you look around the league at the guys that get on this list ahead of him, it's just guys that do more of the PR thing. They do national TV spots. They do, you know, national shows and that type of thing. Whereas Doug is just perfectly content coaching football. And if that's how we're making this list and that's how the list should be made, there's no excuse to have Doug outside the top three, in my opinion, among coaches in the league right now. Doug has the resume. He's won recently. I can't think of a big game that Doug has lost in recent years. And he has a Super Bowl. So I thought 9 was just insanely low. And then, of course, to put Sean McVay ahead of him, it was just laughable. But I credit the guy for making the list everybody's talking about.
But it worked. I mean, he was, you know, everyone around here was upset at him and made sure he knew it on Twitter, which is what's going to happen. But, Elliot, so you have him at 3. I had him at 5 on my list. And the thing that I think people just kind of overlook sometimes is what he's had to overcome. I mean, the coaches that win typically in the NFL get consistent top quarterback play, and the Eagles have had that in spurts, but they also have, you know, like Pete Carroll, for instance, has had Russell Wilson, and he's won, and that guy never misses a game. You know, Bill Belichick, great coach, the best, but he's had Tom Brady basically the whole time for 20 years. Like, Doug's had to overcome, really, in 3 straight years, losing his starting quarterback, and in 2 of those, he moved on and still won and won a lot without his starting quarterback. It's almost remarkable considering no one else in the NFL can do that.
Yeah, and I mean, look, when his starting quarterback has played the last 2 years, he's been an average to below average quarterback. I mean, now part of that is because he's dealing with injuries, obviously, but at the end of the day, Doug has not really gotten consistently good quarterback play for 2 years. So, yeah, you're right. That's certainly part of it. And I also just think overall the injuries this team has dealt with. But even if you look past the injuries, to me, there's 2 things that make the great head coach: consistency and winning big games. I mean, as we just talked about, Doug wins big games, but the Eagles are one of only 4 teams over the last 3 years to be in the playoffs every single year. So he knows how to consistently win. I mean, he has more playoff wins over the last 3 years than anybody in the league besides Bill Belichick. So the resume is absolutely there, but you're right. How he's done it is what made it especially impressive along the way.
Elliot Shore Parks joining us here, 94WIP.com, the Go Birds podcast. Elliot, so yesterday the NFL, at least it came out, I don't know if it's officially official, but it came out yesterday that the NFL is going to cut down the preseason from 4 games to 2 games. I know there's been some talk of even maybe more of a cutdown. What do you think here? And I the one thing that popped out to me yesterday was they're getting rid of weeks 2 and 3. Or they're keeping weeks 2 and 3. So they're not going to have week 1. They're not going to have week. Yeah, so they're not going to have week 1 and 4. And that would signify a pretty long layoff between the last preseason game, whatever that date would be, you know, week 3 of the preseason, which, you know, now will be the last one, and the actual week 1 of the season. What do you make of how they chose to do what they did?
So I never understood the hate that the preseason gets. I think more football is always a good thing, especially as a viewer and a reporter. I enjoyed the preseason games. I think they have an important part of training camp. They're a good chance to get tape of guys, see guys against other teams. It's just it's very meaningful football, in my opinion. And the fact that they're going to have to cut from 90 to 53, you know, you need those preseason games. That being said, because of the fact there was no offseason, I can see the logic of when you report to training camp of having 3 weeks or close to 4 weeks till you have your first preseason game. So I do think that makes some sense. You're right about the layoff between the what would be their second game and week one. But I think we just have to wrap our head around the fact that this is going to be a very different football year. The NFL and the NFLPA are going to try their best. But I think, look, if you're going to have to make changes. Losing 2 preseason games is, you know, near the top of the list of changes you would accept. Hopefully this isn't something that goes into the regular season.
Elliot, you spoke recently to both Will Parks and Matt Pryor. You wrote about those on the website. Give us something that you learned from those guys. Let's start with Will Parks. You talked to him, a Philly guy, a new Eagle, and he has a chance here to get some playing time because we don't know what the secondary is really going to look like. There's obviously Malcolm's spot is basically up for grabs. What'd you think after you talked to Will Parks?
Well, Will Parks is certainly a guy that has big goals. He said, you know, he's from the North Philadelphia area. He said he wants to win the Super Bowl and bring the Lombardi back to North Philly. He wants to have a Hall of Fame career, and he's a guy that's working for it. He did spend time with Malcolm Jenkins this offseason learning the position, and he said that's a rare thing in the league, and I agree. You don't generally get a chance to be tutored from the guy whose job you're taking once he's left the team. He said one time they spent just an hour learning about the position. So I think that's definitely a good thing. And I agree. I think Will Parks is an interesting guy heading into next season. It'll be him, Jalen Mills, and Kayvon Wallace kind of competing for that safety role next to Rodney McLeod. You might see 2 safeties at some point, but it's going to be good competition in training camp. And then Matt Pryor, again, he's getting tutored up by Brandon Brooks. He feels confident going into next season. The fact that he did get those snaps against Seattle, he said was big for him. It made him see how quick the game was. I mean, he's now gotten regular season and playoff experience. So not as much experience as Brandon Brooks, but I think it was a big thing that he got a chance to start in that game heading into next year.
Good stuff. Elliot Shore Parks, 94WIP.com, the Go Birds podcast. Elliot, last one for you. I'm going to throw the question we're debating over here on the Phillies. I want your thought on this before we end our conversation today. Joe Girardi's impact on this team. I think it's being overrated. I think the idea of Girardi being able to take this team and make it way better than it was just because he's a manager is overrated. Jack thinks we're actually underrating Girardi's impact on this team. What do you think? Phillies are about 3 weeks away from opening day. You're feeling on Girardi. We're overrating this impact or underrating it?
Well, first, it must be nice to be able to ask a real baseball guy since you've been stuck there with Jack all afternoon. So,
agreed.
I would say that I think that we're overrating his ability, just like I think Kapler got too much heat last year. I mean, the baseball manager probably has the least impact of any coach in the 4 major sports. He can't make the pitchers better. He can't make Bryce Harper have a better year and all those things. So I think he helps, I guess, but I think we're overrating the impact he's going to have.
See, there it is, a baseball guy, Elliot Shore Parks.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Pretty simple.
It is very simple.
Jack. I mean, he just nailed a baseball conversation, Elliot. Like, that was very good work.
It's what I'm here for. Elliot,
we appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the holiday weekend, and we'll talk soon.
All right, talk to you guys later.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks, 94WIP.com, Go Birds podcast. And how about that? He's chatting with Will Parks, chatting with Matt Pryor.
Yeah, I mean, the Will Parks thing is cute, but he's a Cowboys fan. Like, can we just stop the charade of him caring about bringing a Super Bowl here?
That's just like Corey Clement.
Yeah, everyone just forgets that they're Cowboys fans. Like, they're the exact thing that Philadelphia sports fans hate the most. guys who grew up here that root for the Cowboys.
But once they put the Eagle uniform on, it's all forgiven.
It's forgiven for most people. It's not forgiven for me.
Well, I think most people have forgiven Corey Clement for it.
No, not me.
100 yards receiving in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
Well,
perfect pass from Foles.
Yeah, he gets to celebrate a Super Bowl.
And he's back.
Yeah, because, Joe, like, I grew up here, all right? I grew up here dealing with the Cowboys fans who grew up here and rubbed it in our face about the Super Bowls. And now the fact that he gets to just tell everyone, hey, I brought the Eagles Super Bowl.
But he did.
I know, but it just ruins it for me.
Well, what are you supposed to do? Just, like, not pay attention to that guy? Leave him alone? Not part of the team?
Listen.
He's an Eagle.
He's not an Eagle.
Will Parks is an Eagle.
He's a Cowboys fan that is playing an Eagle.
Yeah, but, you know, this is not a play. This isn't a movie. The guy's an Eagle. Anyway, 215-592-9494. So I'm going to throw this to the mix, and we'll keep our conversation going with Joe Girardi, who actually is I saw some updates. He's been talking. When he says something, whatever he says about these injured players, because we mentioned the names of the four guys, Ranger Suarez, Hector Neris, and Scott Kingery, Tommy Hunter, they're on the injured list. If Girardi updates us on why, because we don't know why right now, there's been no injury put next to them, we will tell you. That's coming up. But I want to throw this to the mix, because today is one of those great on this day in sports history kind of thing. So on this date in 1993, one of the great, maybe most famous baseball games, certainly Phillies games of all time, Phillies-Padres, the marathon game, the rain, doubleheader, and it ended. Didn't this game end like 4 o'clock in the morning?
4:40.
4:40 a.m. Every time I think about this game, I think about if I was older during that time, like if we were to change the timelines and I was doing leading off and final out, because during the last couple years of Phillies baseball, when I'm on at night, I do leading off before the game and then final out after the game. And there was a game in 2018 where the Phillies played until about 2 o'clock against the Dodgers, and Trevor Plouffe walked it off. And I thought that was a late night. 4:40, I would have been, that would have been a long night.
All I know is that I would have stuck it out the whole time.
Yeah, I have reason to believe that's not true, but.
Well, I guess it was a doubleheader, but game one of the doubleheader took 8 hours to play.
Because of the rain.
Because it was like 6 hours of rain delays. And game two didn't start till 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, they had the half-hour break between game one and game two. I mean, who starts a game at 1:30 in the morning?
It's hilarious. And they put on TV that if like, you're leaving the bars, like, just come in for free.
Just come on in, which is crazy. But so this date in 1993, really one of the coolest moments happened right here in Philadelphia. Here's how it sounded when the Phillies won this game, 1993 Phillies-Padres on this date at 4:40 a.m.
Now the stretch. And the pitch. Swing and a base hit to left center field. Hank Camellia's going to score. This game is over. On an RBI hit by Mitchie Poo. The Phillies have won it 6-5-10 on the Wild Things. RBI hit. Can you believe it?
I mean, that's a great call by Harry.
Mitchie Poo?
Mitchie Poo. And you know what? If I had told you that happened at 10 o'clock at night, you can't tell that it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, they don't sound tired. He has all the energy he usually has.
Yeah.
He's a pro.
There's hammered fans in the stands.
Of course there was. So you know what we're going to do with that? I mean, I'm sure there's people listening that were at that game or at least remember watching.
Apparently Spike was at the first game.
The first half.
Yeah. Didn't stay for the whole thing. But Spike was physically there then.
How about that? So 215-592-9494. When you call in, give us your coolest baseball memory or your favorite game you were ever at. Like your favorite baseball memory over the years. Because if you were at a game like that, like something like that you'd never forget. Doubleheaders, rain, long games. For some reason, this year now, one, we're not going to be at the games. But the other part of this year is there's going to be shorter games. They're not going to have the long extra innings because they're trying not to. They're going to have the runner on second base. They want to speed everything up now.
Like that's baseball, right?
Well, how about the Wilson Valdez one?
Exactly.
You don't for whatever reason we don't forget those games. Like there's so many.
Vince Velasquez in left field last year. Like we remember the wackiness.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'll never forget the Velasquez game last year when he went out to left field. And then Roman Quinn pitched, which was just the most amazing. That was like someone said to me last week that was like the peak Gabe Kapler experience.
Yeah.
Watching Velasquez in left field, Roman Quinn pitch. But those are the kind of games you don't forget. 215-592-9494. Your coolest baseball story or your favorite baseball memory from a game you were at. Like there's so many. Like baseball's the one sport where you could go to a game and you remember something different or wacky. Like it feels like every football game. unless you watch a record get broken or something, or the team wins a playoff game, football games are kind of all the same thing. You know, there's very rarely you go to a game like, wow, I've never seen that before in a football game. I guess the snow game against the Lions was...
snow game was like a baseball game. Like the people talk about the snow game like people talk about the Wilson Valdez game or the Royals won in left field game. Yes. Where Ryan Howard gets thrown out and Oswald has to play left field. Like, that's what makes baseball so great, is like you never know what you're going to see when you walk into a ball game. Like, football, it's pretty much the same thing. Like, there's going to be touchdowns, defensive holds.
And basketball, too. Like, basketball, you know, maybe someone will score a lot of points. But for the most part, it's a basketball game. You're not going to see something so far out of the realm that you've never seen before. Baseball has those games, like a game ending at 4:40 in the morning on a Mitch Williams hit. 215-592-9494 for your coolest baseball story or your favorite baseball memory of a game that you were at. And the other part about baseball that works for something like this and why we all have those memories, there's so many games. There's 81 games a year in a normal year you could go to or you can watch and you could see something that, quite frankly, you've never seen before. You know, last year was not a fun year of Phillies baseball. It wasn't. Like, outside the first week, it wasn't fun to watch that team last year. That Velasquez night, they lost that game. I think it was to the White Sox.
It was the White Sox.
That was a fun night. Like, I remember watching and I was into the whole thing, and it was like it ended past midnight, and then the whole debate on what the heck Gabe was doing, why he went to Velasquez in left field, why he didn't just pitch him. Like, there was so much to that, and yet everyone remembers it. I mean, this game in 1993 we're talking about. Everyone remembers this game. Everyone remembers the fact that they played a game at 1:30 in the morning. That call by Harry we just played there, I mean, I've heard that over the years so many times because it's such a... It just sticks in your brain. Like, that 93 team had so many of those kind of walk-off wins or improbable wins. It was really their calling card. The fact that they didn't just win games. You know, sometimes good teams, World Series caliber teams, they just blow teams out. They're the best team. The 93 team was good, obviously, but they also had a knack for comebacks, a knack for a guy that, you know, the last guy in the 25-man roster would get the hit that night. Mitch Williams getting the hit that night. That was the 93 Phillies. 215-592-9494. Unfortunately, the last couple years has been marked by way more of the games that, like, the heartbreaking games. The games that you just, like, man, how'd they lose that game? It was so close. They were right there, and they lost the game. But even a couple years ago when the Phillies, because we know they haven't been good for a while, but even a couple years ago, there was the game they won, I think it was in May of 16, where Cameron Rupp got rocked at home.
Oh, yeah.
And held on to the ball.
Tyler Goodell in left field.
Man, the rebuilding Phillies were.
Oh, right. Like, at least the rebuilding Sixers were fun. There was, like, nothing fun about the Phillies. Like, Franco was interesting to follow, see if he can turn it into something.
I guess Freddie Galvis could catch the ball.
Yeah, Galvis could play shortstop, but, you know, it was Tommy Joseph and Cesar and Tyler Goodell, Cameron Rupp, just awful.
Odubel was their best player.
Odubel was an all-star.
It was rough. Pat Neshek was an all-star. That was rough. 215-592-9494. Your coolest baseball story over the years. We all have them. We've all had, you know, been to games that have gone on forever. I mean, the 18 innings, the Wilson Valdez, last year with Velasquez in left field. There's the Phillies, it feels like I've had a lot of those where it's like you don't forget those moments.
Now, would you have left? Like, would you, when you get to that point, like, I feel like you're more likely to leave in what, like 12th? And then, but if it gets to like the 18th, you kind of just got to do it.
Yeah,
right?
I'd want to stay. So I have a thing with movies. If I'm watching a bad movie, I can't turn it off. I want to see it to the end. I have the same thing with books. When I'm reading a book, even if I don't like the book, I don't know why I do this, I'm just going to keep reading it to the end. I want to finish what I started. I think I would do the same thing. I think if it was at one of these crazy games, I would just stay the whole time. Kyle is up on WIP. Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
Good, Kyle. What's up?
Well, I just had a quick story about one of my favorite Phillies games that I was ever attended. I remember I was probably my, I think it was my junior year in high school, and we were playing the Marlins, and it was tied up, went into extra innings. I remember top of the 10th inning, Marlins score a run, go up, you know, whatever it was, 6-5 or something like that. Inning ends, Phillies get up. John Mayberry Jr. off the bench, first pitch, hits a solo home run to tie it. That's great, whatever. Inning ends. We go around one more time. Next time, John Mayberry Jr. comes up, second time up to bat that entire game. Bases loaded, and he hits a walk-off grand slam right in front of me. It was super exciting. I will never forget that moment for as long as I live.
It's a great one. And Mayberry was one of those guys. I was a John Mayberry fan. I thought John Mayberry had a chance to be a good player, and his career kind of fizzled out, but he had some pop. You know, he could do things like that, Kyle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll never forget that one either, just because we started off the night. It was with some friends of mine from high school, and started off the night up in like the up level. And then, you know, extra inning games, people usually fan out a little bit. So we were actually able to move down right behind the Phillies dug. So it was just right there. Really cool to see. And yeah, it was a great moment, but you're so right. Like little things like that only really happen in baseball. You're so right, you know?
It's a great one. Kyle, appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. I mean, outside of a once in a while, you don't get football games or hockey games or basketball games that end like that or have those moments where you just – like John Mayberry just came up. We've talked about John Mayberry in a long time. That's what happens in baseball.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's why it's frustrating, the whole runner on second base thing. You know, part of the beauty of baseball is – you never know what's going to happen.
And you never know when it's going to end. And that bothers some people, but you never know when it's going to end. But that's gives you these stories. 215-592-9494. I believe we're overrating the impact Joe Girardi can have. Jack thinks we're underrating it for this season. Give us your coolest baseball story. I have one coming up on the other side. I went to a game in 09. I was just looking up the box score to remember exactly who they were playing and when it was. But there was a game in 09 that kind of captured – at least for me, what that team was and that run the Phillies had. I'll tell you about my story on the other side. Need yours. And on the other side, the NFL might be planning on having fans sign waivers before entering the stadium this coming season. We'll tell you more about it next. Right here are Mark Cerise, Joe Giglio in Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.